It's on our screens now. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay. No action was taken in open session. In closed session, in the open and closed session part, no action was taken. And now, our student representative to the Board of Trustees, Estelle.
The Marysville High School Board Report, March 2nd through 31st. In an effort to increase school spirit, Marysville High School has made March into March Madness, where every day is a dress-up day. There is the very popular Sports Day and Nerds Day, and the much more interesting Tasty Tourist Day and Patriotic Day, and that was only the first week. Recently, we delayed into the traditional Twin Day and newly popular Workout Wednesday. We've raised awareness as well with MS Awareness Day, where all students wore orange. To keep the days fresh and energized, student council and leadership have created where Waldo Day and Senior Citizens Day, with days like Neon Dress Like a Teacher and Blue Cheese, March Madness, and definitely amped up school spirit, equipped with every week in a lunchtime activity that is connected to each representative day, March 31st through the 15th. The 69th Annual Key Club District Convention was held this year in the Anaheim, California. The Marysville Key Club was able to send 5 elected club board members for very little cause. There they learn about key structure, leadership qualities, how to work with adults and members, service opportunities and organization, the types of fundraisers, and how to effectively compete their specialized positions, March 19th through the 22nd. The 36th Annual California Academic Decathlon was this past weekend, where 66 teams from all over California competed. The Marysville Academic Decathlon team competed, increased their overall score by 1,000 points, and meddling in speech. They used this event to demonstrate their capitalist and gain momentum for the following year. Next year theme is India. March 20th, a girl asked a boy out to a day and they match with the exact same outfit. This event is the annual Sadie's Hawkins dance and a fundraiser for the sophomore class. This year it went very well, with the class gaining funds for the prom, which they will be putting on the following year. March 31st, this marks the very beginning of the election season for student government. From this moment on, the student board would be enraptured in events that will come with the election season, from the speeches and flyers to the posters, and publicizing the leaders for the following year will be decided very soon. Upcoming events. In April, we will be celebrating student with top notch, and in May, Marysville will be celebrating life with the third blood drive of the year. And as always, the prom will be held this month on May 2nd. Lyndhurst High School Board Report. Upcoming events. This week is Powder Puff Week, and our dress-up days are: today was Sports Day, Thursday is Blazer Union, which is wear blazer gear, and Friday is wear your class color shirts. Seniors wear neon pink, juniors wear purple, sophomores wear neon yellow, and freshmen wear neon blue. Also, throughout the week, we are having class competitions to raise donations for the local Yes We Can charity. Lyndhurst High School Powder Puff Game and Carnival will be Friday, March 27th. The varsity game, which be juniors versus seniors, will be held at 5:30 p.m. at the D. Miller Stadium, LHS. The community and club carnival begins at 5 p.m. There will also be an awesome halftime show. The entrance fee will only be $1, and all that is collected will be donated to a local Yes We Can charity. After the game, our music department will be presenting You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, in RC Building, and also that night will be our Sadie Hawkins dance.
Thank you very much. Okay, presentation, PG&E, Lori Rollins.
Good evening, board members. At this time, Lori Rollins is going to bring some information based on incentives that we're working on with Pacific Gas and Electric, and then we'll get into our facility update. So.
Good evening, Dr. Todd, staff, and members of the board. My name is Lori Rollins, and I'm an account manager with Pacific Gas and Electric Company, and I'm also PG&E's representative to the Marysville Joint Unified School District, and I'm very happy to be here this evening. To give you a little background in my role with the district, I first met with staff in 2007 to discuss Measure H funding and the proposed new construction and renovation projects within the district. Since energy efficiency is the driving force for energy cost reduction, I was interested in the district's plans to incorporate energy efficiency in future projects. I found that the staff was extremely interested in exploring PG&E's energy efficiency portfolio, which led to the participation in our Savings by Design program. This program streamlined the district's efforts to improve its energy efficiency while earning incentives to offset new construction and modernization projects. To date, and well over a dozen projects later, the district has saved over 864,000 kilowatt hours, and that's a big number, with annual energy and incentive savings exceeding $500,000. In addition, your district was rewarded PG&E's School Segment Integration Award. MJUSD was chosen for this award in 2012 out of all the school districts in the PG&E service territory, commending their partnership with PG&E, their commitment to improving the learning environment for students, as well as their role as a community leader in energy efficiency. So where are we headed from here? I can attest that your Director of Facilities and Energy Management, Cynthia Jensen, Cynthia has been extremely focused on expenditure planning and submittals for the district's Proposition 39 funding. Approved by California voters in 2012, Prop 39 provides funding allocations to public K-12 schools to spend on energy efficiency and renewable projects. Together, our plan is to continue this already established partnership. Where did she go? There you go. To utilize PG&E's rebate and incentive programs to best maximize the district's Prop 39 funding, furthering the investment in energy efficiency and energy cost reductions. In closing, I would like to commend the district for your partnership with PG&E, your commitment to improving the learning environment for your students, and your exemplary role as a community leader in energy efficiency. So, in closing, on behalf of Pacific Gas and Electric Company, and as a former student at Walter Kynoch, Anna McKinney, and Marysville High School, I'm honored to present you with a check for the Savings by Design program for the project that was completed at Ellis School. Your efforts are to be commended. And the check is in the amount of $26,699. So thank you very much.
And I believe homecoming queen her senior year at Marysville High.
Thank you, Lori. Obviously, we appreciate all the work that PG&E has done with us so far, and we look forward to having even more exciting things come in the future as we move into Proposition 39 and other endeavors to save both electricity for the planet and money for the district that we can use for other purposes. With that, we're going to segue into our quarterly facilities and energy management update. As you know, this is an established process now that we brought before the board. Every 3 months, we'll give you an update. We were able to provide you with the presentation in advance, so we're not going to go into detail on every item, but please feel free to stop us at any time if you have any questions or want some clarifications on any of the information that's presented. So overall, we're going to take you through a variety of topics. Obviously, there's a lot in this area. We'll look at the remaining bond projects. We're going to look at all our sources of funding for facilities and energy management, some one-time money projects that we've done from the general fund, one-time reserve. School site-funded projects, we have a little bit there. Deferred maintenance plan as we're putting money into Fund 14. Prop 39, we talked about energy savings, so we're looking at our projects there. Energy management, just our efforts in terms of really baselining our data and where we're going to go in terms of reducing our energy usage. Surplus property, we have a couple of properties where we have a little bit of an update for you. And then future facilities planning as we bring all our stakeholders together to see where we're going with our planning and our facilities. So with that, I'll turn it over to Cynthia to get into our bond projects update.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again to present on facilities. This slide represents an update on the ELLA project, which was funded out of the bond funds. It looks familiar. The numbers do change, though, as we go into closeout for the project. The total spent for the entire project, hard and soft cost to date, is just a little over $8 million. And we did get some state matching funds to offset those costs, which is at the top left in the corner there. We will be hydro seeding over spring break, and including the installation of a monument sign at the front of the school. And with that, we'll be just about done with every single thing except warranty on that project. This is the project in a nutshell. Moving forward with the remaining bond funds, we are currently in design and have submitted our plans for the Foothill Wastewater System upgrade at Foothill. Yuba County Environmental Health Department is the lead agency on that, and we anticipate getting an approval or at least some comments on the proposed drawings by the end of this week. We'll go into bid in April and then start construction once school is over. You'll see a bit about the ELLA hydro seeding amount there. It includes some tree work, some grading, topsoil, and then the seeding itself. If there's bond money left after the Foothill Wastewater System gets completed, we have a couple of landscaping projects there at the bottom of the slide that did not get completed as part of the new construction at those two school sites.
So before Cynthia gets into a lot of the other details in terms of our facility efforts, I want to give you the big picture in terms of the bond fund. You know, we have current encumbrances of a little over $139,000. Once you take that out of what the balance is left, remaining just in that fund is $316,000 roughly, a little bit more than that. So what that does is when we look at Fund 35, which is where we got a lot of the state match money, we've expended that. But you put those two funds together, that's our total really remaining bond dollars and associated dollars, it's $457,000. As you notice, the Foothill Wastewater Project runs anywhere from $500,000 to $800,000. It's very dependent on once we get into the soil and we see the conditions. We may have to look at other sources of funding to finish that project, but we do have available sources. So our other sources, currently we have a balance of $690,000, a little more in deferred maintenance, but we send $820,000 there every year as part of the LCAP to really focus on those systematic issues that come up over time. And one of them could be obviously a wastewater system. But we have, Cynthia will get more detail about kind of a draft plan, and that's why we send it to you in advance, where we think we're going to go with those dollars. And the $820,000 doesn't need to be expended in 1 year. We could spend, you know, over $1 million in 1 year and $500,000 in another. It's really just how the projects flow. The one-time money was, we talked about how we finished the year, $671,000 in surplus last year. And so we ended up putting a little bit more money in that in some one-time projects, two of which are the Covalod School fencing and also the South Lyndhurst to move the portable there and make that a full-time continuation school. And then we have a little over $2.2 million we project for Prop 39, so we'll do a lot of lighting, HVAC, and associated energy upgrades, as well as $250,000 dedicated a loan to the charter school, which we'll spend as much as we can of that on the small campus. And then we talked about incentives and other things that we'll be able to try to bring in, and we'll continue to look for other sources of funding. So with that, get Cynthia back into the meat of the projects coming up.
Okay, with the general the one-time dollars left over from prior year into this fiscal year, we have two projects, Covalod fencing project. You see the scope there and the estimated cost. We are currently awaiting DS approval. They're starting their review on April 1st. It could take up to 3 weeks. And then we'll go into bid after that, and then we'll know exactly what the costs for that projects are going to be, and we'll estimate. We'll have the hard costs for construction, but then we'll have to estimate the soft costs for a total cost of the project. We'll bring an update for you next time for those costs. Same with the Lyndhurst Portable. We'll be bidding that project in April. We'll have the exact cost at that time in terms of construction and then add the soft cost at that time. We did get DSA approval on that portable building in March, so we're on track with that project. Next, we have a couple of school site funded projects, and this will vary year to year based on what the school sites want for their funds and for their sites from those monies. The first one being Lyndhurst Shade Canopy. We had bid that in February, and we only had one submittal, and they didn't meet the deadline, so we chose to rebid that just so we're in compliance. And so that will be rebidding here shortly, and it will be a summer project. You'll see a little bit of scope there. And then the next item would be funded out of charter funds. MCA staff would decide how many modular buildings they'd like to add to their campus, and that work would not start in terms of construction until next summer. In terms of deferred maintenance plan, we did draft up a 5-year plan here. We included as many components as possible without overspending the budget of $820,000 per year. Like Ryan indicated, if we don't spend all the deferred maintenance money in 1 year, it can roll to the next. A lot of these projects require DSA approval, so the scheduling will vary a little bit. I won't go into detail line by line, but these are basically all the items that the maintenance department themselves would be managing this year. Yeah.
Just to add a little detail, I know there's a lot of detail, and she's not going to get into every line item. For 14-15, we have to finish the year, so we'll do as much as we can this year. But if the board would like a study session or to get in more details about how we time out 15-16 in the next 3 years after that, then we can do that in a little more detail, I think, at a study session. But if there's any questions on any projects now, it's just to give you the information. We can come back at a later date and really prioritize that. Again, she'll talk about future facilities plan, too, and we'll like to get an advisory committee and have some stakeholder input as well. But for the sake of time, again, we'll try to do that in a separate session.
Okay, so again, these are just by fiscal year. It's a draft, so if we have the study session, we can get into greater detail. A lot of these items on the first slide for this year, because I'm new here still, we're smaller in scope, but the maintenance department does a lot of miscellaneous work, as you know. And some of the projects in the slides in the out years are the larger projects, looking at the district more holistically in terms of like painting, striping, ADA upgrades, and what have you. So just more of the same, a lot of fire life safety, getting rid of some of the simplex panels that remain in the district. That's a proprietary item, and it's really hard for us to maintain those components. We have about 75 to 100 HVAC units that are 25 years or older, and the Freon will not be available, so that's why those are on the list as a quasi-priority. So moving forward into 16-17, you see some items here. We really tried to address either district-wide for every school a certain part, like electrical components, which is fire life safety, obviously, a priority as well. Painting, lighting, PA systems. So almost every school is on here in some form or fashion, excluding the day-to-day operations from the maintenance staff. So here's 17-18, 18-19. And then if you're ready, we'll move on to the Prop 39. It's the Clean Energy Jobs Act funding. The funding that we get under Prop 39 is restricted. It may only be used for certain things like HVAC controls, lighting upgrades, controls, room sensors, and things like that. So it is restricted money, and California Energy Commission does audit the district when the money is spent, so it must be spent in compliance with the Prop 39 Clean Energy Act regulations. This is sort of kind of a redundant slide in terms of the overall money for the district, 2.2 for the district over 5 years. To date, we've received 111 in planning funds. We have the level one audits already completed for Marysville High School, Lyndhurst, and Linda Elementary School, and those CEC required plans are being drafted and will be submitted in the next month or two. Same for the charter below. And there's a note there about what's excluded and may be included. And here's a related list for Prop 39. It just sort of reiterates what was in the previous slide. It's HVAC controls and replacements, timers, economizers, thermostats, interior-exterior lighting, poles, exit signs, occupancy sensors. On the lighting piece, typically DSA is not required, but when DSA approval is required for the HVAC upgrades, for example, DSA has provided an expedited approval process, which is fabulous. And some cost estimates there to the right. It's more of the same. It's Marysville, Lyndhurst, and Linda Elementary School. Again, those were the audits that were completed first, so it makes sense to do the CEC required plans for those sites first. And these three schools are the schools that use the most energy per square foot and have some of the very oldest equipment in the district. So it was important to start there. We'll follow with additional schools if money is available over and above these three schools to meet the 2.2. Same for MCAA. They have money designated. It's restricted for their school and their school alone per the California Energy Commission. Next, if you're ready, we'll move on to energy management update. To date, the district has paid their energy bills, but they really haven't tracked consumption at any certain or particular level by site or by meter. With the utility management software that you approved on 310, we'll be able to do exactly that. We're setting up our database right now with meters per school for all of our resources, water, sewer, electricity, natural gas, propane, storm drain, and so forth. So once that gets the database gets set up, we'll enter 12 months of data for all the utilities per site, per meter. We could normalize that for weather, and we can adjust it for addition or demolition of building improvements to get an ongoing baseline and comparative cost per square foot. We do have some draft energy guidelines that will be shared in cabinet that will move forward next year. It's just a plus, it's the set points for heating and cooling with the 3 degrees plus or minus, and a 1-over override. You heard PG&E, we partner with them closely. We take advantage of every free service they have to offer, whether it be with them or one of their third-party vendors. Clear Result is one example of that. And we are already beginning that work. We have some interesting slides I'll share with you in just one moment. It's a result of our partnership with PG&E and Clear Result. So I understand that this slide is a little bit hard to read, but basically what it's showing is over this given period of time for Lyndhurst High School, for example, you can see that on Tuesdays you can tell when the heat or air kicks on and you can tell when it kicks back off, basically with bell schedule, but you'll see there's some blips. So in the evening the heat or air went on, but that's likely for an after-school event. But in the chart below, you'll see that we have a pretty large load profile on Saturday. And it's consistent, and so that might mean we have an opportunity there to shut the heating or cooling off. So that's what this data will show us. So we'll go do a site audit, and then we'll adjust from there. This is same for another school, so I won't go into any detail. It's basically the same things are running on Saturday. And then surplus property, this is the expenditures to date for the Hamilton-Smartsville property. We have three different programs, so these are the costs to date. A total per program at the bottom of the slide, and it's hard and soft costs. And there's three of those. And a bit about what we've done so far. When you want to build, it's often that you have some mitigation to do for California Environmental Quality Act. We did have to pay some seasonal wetland credits. That's been purchased and wrapped up. So it basically means that property is now usable or marketable. And with the demographic study that we have underway, it'll tell us how much capacity we have and what we're going to need in the future based on projected enrollment growth. And we do have a bit of state matching funds, up to almost $8 million.
Cynthia, I think that was more for the Dr. Jack Stokes Intermediate School.
I know, I was wondering. At the very end of this slide, the first three bullets are kind of redundant. I've spoke to those already. But if the district, based on the demographic study findings, we might want to consider leasing, selling, or trading the property if it is to so be determined. Those are some of the guidelines. It's per ed code. It's pretty strict requirements, but I've done it before, so it's doable. So we'll just have to see what the findings say from the demographic study. And last but not least, we had a facility master plan that was completed in 2005. We're currently updating that, just a rough draft. We have put dates to the things that were completed already from the 2005 master plan through current, and we are adding additional items based on the needs assessments we have recently completed, both by myself and by the maintenance staff. So it's a pretty comprehensive update that will be vetted, maybe in the fall, as early as the fall. It will include the demographic study findings as well. And this are just a few examples of what was on the initial master plan that did not get built, like the Linda Library, for example. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but the updated facility master plan will be very, very comprehensive. Again, it'll include health and safety items, fire life safety related. It'll be the wants to have, the needs to have. And a facility advisory committee will be needed to fully vet that with our stakeholders district-wide. And that concludes the presentation. Any questions?
And as we said, there's a lot of detail in there, so take your time to go through it. If there's a study session that needs to be, especially in the deferred maintenance plan, you'll see part of that rolled into the facility advisory plan, but as we bring a master plan forward, it's really going to make sure that it's comprehensive, it's catching everything, and that there's some weight or priority given to the projects, and we hear at least from stakeholders on what they think are priorities. So it'll be hopefully a very shared decision-making process. Thank you.
Okay. School report, Marysville Charter Academy of the Arts. Mr. Blum.
Well, I'd like to say hello to the board, Gay, the cabinet, and our student rep from Lyndhurst. We have our school report, so let's get started. Okay, so the purpose of the school to start with was to provide more fine arts classes, performing arts classes for our students, students and families in the area, and also to provide a high-quality prep education. We've been doing that for, the school began in 1999-2000, so we've been doing this for over 15 years. Now, due to our eight-period schedule, students at MCA are allowed to take more elective classes, which mean more classes in the arts. Most classes, only high school kids take six. We take eight. So many kids can take four classes that they love, which is the reason that they're at our school. For the sixth year in a row, MCA was recognized by U.S. News and World Report magazine as one of the top high schools in the country, winning the Silver Medal Award this year. In the past, every year we won the bronze. For this year, we won the silver for the first time, so we're very proud of that. Also, since our last board report, Marysville Charter Academy earned the California Distinguished School Award, which is valid for 5 years, which means it's right here hanging good until 2018. So we're proud of that also. And then Marysville Charter Academy is one of only four local high schools to have its students score higher than the state average on the SAT, the Scholastic Aptitude Test. Over half of our student graduates, 2014 graduates, took the SAT, which is highest of any school in our local area. Our school in 2013, which was the last year of the Academic Performance Index, earned a score of 869. Now, this is what the federal government holds all schools to. They want to see all schools at 800 or higher, so they'd like to see a minimum of 800. In our last score, we were at 869. And from 2011 to 2013, we're very proud of the fact that our API score increased by 31 points over that period. And our attendance was 97.4% last year, and 63 of our students had perfect attendance, and out of a school of about 350, that's pretty significant. Now, this is something I'm proud of, too, and the teachers, science teachers, should be very proud. We have one in the audience, even. 93% of 8th grade students scored proficient or advanced on the CST science test. That's extremely high. And 77% of 10th graders scored proficient or advanced on the CST science test. So they test 8th and 10th grade. They don't test 9th, 11th, 12th. So some years, though, our science scores, we have it as high as 75% of 8th or 10th grade students being at advanced, not just proficient, but at advanced, which is the highest level. California High School Exit Exam, this is one test that hasn't gone away. It's still here. It should be here. But, I mean, currently we're in a transition period. We're transitioning into the Common Core standards. But the California High School Exit Exam has been there throughout. And last year, our students, 96% of all our students that took the English exam passed it the first time, and 94% that took the math passed it the first time. But what we've been working on is math, because that's the one area that we haven't really stood out. And looking at math as far as percent proficient, not just passing there's a score of a total of 450, and passing is 350, a score of 350. But to get to proficient, the kids have to score 380 or higher. And over the last 3 years, our math students have gone from 75% to 83% proficient. And that's a credit to our math teachers. We're very proud of that. They've worked very hard to do that. And as far as safety goes, MCA is very safe. Violence is extremely rare. I would say there is about every other year there's something along these lines happens, but it's very rare, and it's not very significant. Gangs are non-existent. Parent involvement. Our school is, I would say, a little more unique than most in that we have a lot of parent involvement. Parents are very connected to the school. One of the best ways they do this is by joining the PTSA, which raises thousands and thousands of dollars each year. The money is used to provide senior scholarships. They provide $500 senior scholarships. Every year, they pay for costumes, they help purchase instruments for music classes, copyrights for the shows that come up, they help in other ways. Parents volunteer, not necessarily part of the PTSA, but parents volunteer to build sets, they make costumes, chaperone dances, they help at fundraising events, and many, many other ways. Some idea of what we do, recent performances, we've had The Little Mermaid recently, Midsummer Night's Dream, we have Musicality, Honk Junior, French Night. That's where the French teacher puts on a night where the students write a little play, and then they act it out and speak in French, and then they do it again in English. And then she also provides refreshments, hors d'oeuvres, that kind of thing. Then we have Black History Performance, which has been going on for quite some time. Hairspray was a big production we had recently. Then we have our winter and spring showcases and winter and spring music festivals every year. And then some of the goals we have for 2014-15 and beyond. We're committed to maintaining high standards in both academics and in the arts, with still a continued focus on math, maintaining high scores on the CAISY, increasing math scores on the new Common Core Standards test. We haven't received any tests, and from what I understand now, this year we probably won't receive tests for that either. But when that comes out, we set a base, and then we want to improve on that, especially in math. And we want to continue to align arts curriculum to the visual and performing arts standards. How will we improve in academics? District curriculum specialists will work with math and English teachers. She has in the past, she will again. Teachers continuing to collaborate and look at student data. Ninth block, which is most Tuesdays, provides collaboration rehearsal time for the arts and collaboration time for academic teachers. And then continued professional development for teachers. Mentoring targeted students. Currently, we've been doing this for a couple of years now. Teachers, we have a list of students that are at risk, and teachers will pick maybe two or three that they feel close to, and they feel they can help. And they'll meet with those students on a weekly basis. They'll find a little time where they can pull them aside and meet with them, check on their grades, and just being there and checking with them does a lot to help motivate those kids. And then we have peer tutors, peer tutoring our students. We have something called SWAT, students who are there. Those are students that their purpose is to help struggling students also. And the way that works is if we have kids, we'll have that same list, and we'll have these kids that are having trouble in a particular subject, and we'll have staff that will match them up and find a time that they can pull them out and help them with that particular subject. And that's been very successful. That's worked quite well for us. And then increased tutoring time for targeted students by a retired math teacher. We've had a math teacher coming and working with kids that are struggling in math. We're able to pull them out for about 30 minutes once a week and work with this math teacher. And the math teachers tell me that has helped a lot. That's really made a difference with these kids. In approximately a year and a half, we'll add a room where students will receive additional help from support staff. And I want to thank the board and the cabinet and Gay for allowing us to be able to purchase up to three modular units to add to our campus next summer, this following summer, summer of 2016. Ninth block English and math CAISY classes. Those are very important because it's that time when the math teachers and English teachers pull these kids out. Ninth block, I better explain that. Ninth block is that we take one Tuesday, or actually three or four Tuesdays a month, we'll shorten a day by about 15 minutes, and it adds about an hour at the end of the day, and we'll have this, what we call a ninth period, or ninth block. Remember, we have eight blocks, as I said at the very beginning. And during that block, we can pull kids out and have them go to these classes and prep them for the CAISY exam. We used to do it after school, but we found a lot of kids they'll go home. You can't get them there. So having it during the regular school day has really made a difference. And then how will we improve in the arts? Well, this year we have two new classes, songwriting, music theory, and professions in the arts. Our MCA drumline will continue to grow. They won first place at the Christmas parade just recently. We hope to get uniforms soon. They are expensive. We want to continue to develop rubrics in the arts classes in order to improve student learning and align more of the arts classes curriculum to the VAPA standards. We plan to maintain teacher collaboration time by using the ninth block period, like I just explained. And part of our monthly staff meeting, they're an hour and a half. In the first 45 minutes, we always do collaboration by department. Sometimes it's cross-curricular also, and by using subs. And we also, again, plan to add a music classroom in a little over a year, summer of 2016. One of our teachers has to rotate through preps, so she'll have her own room. And one concern we have is just the fact that students have to cross the highway to get to Allen Scott Youth Center, where we have our PE classes, our martial arts, and our dance classes. But at the same time, we realize there's no alternative. So I'm not sure what can be done about that other than try to be as safe as you can, to have the teachers watch them, that kind of thing. But I'd also like to thank the school board, Gay, and the cabinet for always considering MCA's concerns and for making our interactions feel like those of a winning team. So I really appreciate what you've all done for us, especially, like I said, with the new portables you've allowed us to purchase. We really appreciate that. I have a DVD I also want to show. This, let me explain it real quick, though. It's about 5 minutes, and it's I had our video teacher come to the site council meeting, and I had a few questions. And the teachers, students, and parents only had a few minutes to prep for it. They didn't really, you know, it wasn't something that we did take one, two, three. It was just, this is it, and what do you have to say? So yeah, I think this will give you a little better idea of this, what the school's about.
The thing I like most about MCAA is the respect others have for each other.
What I like the most about MCAA is how small of a school we are and how you have this sense of community and family and everybody knows each other.
What I like most about MCAA is the freedom of expression of arts and how our students are able to express themselves in different art forms such as music, graphic design, video, painting and drawing.
The most thing I like about MCAA gives a lot of opportunities for students to perform in theater.
I like most about teaching at MCA the arts and how they're integrated into the lives of the students and how we have respect for each other and our artistic abilities. Music is a very, very important entity in their lives. I've seen kids not be on certain drugs for behavior anymore. They simply play the piano, or they sing, or they sing and dance, or they act. And even in the academic classes, I can see the correlation. I see many, many historical projects come through the music room and have songs to accompany them.
What I like teaching most at MCA, of course, is the students. I really like the way they're so creative and they bring their creativity and the arts to the classroom. And it pushes me to be creative when teaching them. And I think it makes the learning for them and also for me much more enjoyable.
I was looking for a school that had creative learning and leadership qualities to be able to help to develop those abilities in my son. And many people referred this school for that. I contacted the principal and various other teachers, and they all seemed appropriate. And I personally feel that the choice I made was perfect for my son. And I recommend this school to anyone who would like to come visit and bring their children in.
We were looking for a school that would keep her challenged, of course, get her ready for college, but also give her lots of opportunities to explore what she really wanted to do, and here she's been able to do that.
MCAA is different because it allows students to express themselves safely.
MCAA is different from other schools because we have a unique community setting where our friends become more like family. For me, MCAA has been like a second home for the past 6 years. So I come here and I focus on my art and I get to grow as a person and I get to help other people grow as themselves. And I think that's a really essential part of charter that other schools don't have.
MCAA is different from other schools because we have the freedom to express ourselves, however, and we're much more open and understanding and accepting. And I just, yeah.
Very much so. I think their academics, as well as their arts, whatever their interests might be, they are well prepared. And I have a few students who are alumni students who come back and show us that. We have one person, he is now the new voice of Disney Radio. We have another Singing in the Rain star who is now a lawyer, passed the bar. We have a Navy SEAL. We have a band teacher over in Yuba City. He was a student here also. So I'm seeing just in my little corner of this campus, students come back and they have achieved their goals.
I think the graduates of MCA are very prepared, not only for the next academic step, which of course is important, but also they're prepared to be good citizens. And I think that's an important part of our job as teachers, to prepare them to become a good, productive citizen. And the graduates here have proven that in the past, and I know they're going to continue to prove that.
Yes, Muslet definitely has. They've seen them grow in their confidence and skills, and to give you the other side of the coin, college-wise, my daughter's been able to be accepted at a lot of colleges, so we know that the curriculum here is prepared for that. So, and we think she'll do well with what she's gained from the school.
You need to make sure Casey knows where you're going.
Wait, do I see that he started when you're...
Any questions?
Great job, Tim. I'm pretty much on your campus. I've been in the last 2 weeks every day, probably. So it's interesting to see the kids and go to the performances. We have some great performances that you guys put on during the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Third performance this weekend.
Shrek Jr.
I would just like to thank you, Mr. Malone, of how you can meld all of the core courses together and still have all the arts and allow the students to take part in the things that they really enjoy. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay, comments from board members? Why don't we start on this end, and Tony?
Just if you, and I'm sure you most notice if you've been in Marysville Little League parks for the last 2 weeks, many of our elementary kids or children are participating in the Little League now, and come on out and watch them on the weekend, York Field or up in the foothills or whatever, it's kind of nice. Give them something to do. Thank you.
Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
So earlier in the month, I had the opportunity to visit one of the meetings for the Indian Education Program out at Ellis School, and it was just a great eye-opener to see all of the opportunities that the Indian Education Program offers to our students. And I would like to commend Mr. Carpenter for all of his efforts that he does with that.
Mr. Flory?
First of all, I'm glad to see Lori here. It made me feel a little bit old. She was in the very first class I taught at McKinney School when I started my career. And I remember you were in the class with Jerry Reed, who is also our undersheriff now. And you've done well, and I'm pleased to see how well you've done with your life. Also, this last weekend, the Scott Lane and his crew put on a training out at the mall for the bus drivers and getting ready for their annual rodeo, which makes him stand out as one of the best in the state. Also, for MCAA, Bernie and I were on the last accreditation committee about 2 years ago, and we were invited to sit in on a couple portions of it. And I remember the lead was a retired superintendent who had been in education for 43 years, and he made the comment at the end of the meeting. And hearing the parents and the staff, he said, if I lived closer, I would drive my kid to this school. And he lived about an hour and a half away. He said, I've never, of all the accreditations I've done, have never seen a school of this magnitude. And it says a lot for the kids and the students. But the main thing is the kids are absolutely happy. And I remember kids I had it when I taught at Yuba Gardens that went on to MCAA. They were miserable as they were going into their teenage years, and they loved MCAA. And they said, we feel safe and we're happy. So congratulations to Tim and the crew there. Also this week, we're doing the ACE Award. For those that don't know what the ACE Award is, it's accepting the challenge of excellence. And people have a chance, schools, to put in for a graduating senior who has overcome great odds. And in this area, it's by the local exchange club. We've had every year they win $300 here, and they won $300 for 5 years. Then it goes to the state level, and we've had students that win $1,000. 2 years ago, we had one place first in the nation and won $10,000. So this year, we're picking up the awards. MCAA has submitted someone, and I know that Tim and the staff get quite a bit writing this essay. There's going to be two from Lyndhurst, and there's going to be one from that Donna Cummings is preparing from North Marysville. So we're very proud to be able to do this because it gives kids, and the one that won the $10,000, that went toward his education, somebody that was down and out. So we're pleased for the Exchange Club to be able to do this.
Mr. Harris? Well, that leaves me. And normally I would say something like I'm collecting scholarship applications and search for talent this coming Friday at McKinney and those kinds of things. I spent a lot of time in the schools, especially this last 2 weeks, because I've been on almost, I'd say, at least 15 campuses. First, I'd like to thank all those teachers and staff that told me that they were embarrassed by the attempted character assassination of our superintendent during the last board meeting, and I was very proud to talk to them that way. It was a bad experience, and I think we, you know, of course, as board members, we can never answer when that's up. The survey failed to mention different sizes of districts, numbers of schools, students within, responsibility of superintendents, so that it's simply apples and oranges when you look at the overall picture in the state of California. Some schools have 400 students in their whole district. We have 10,000. Okay? So let's see what this superintendent of L.A. City Schools makes. Okay. I'm also going to say that while the survey may have noted that the average teacher in our district makes $64,000 plus or minus, it failed to note that there are teachers in the district who earn more than $90,000 in 181 days field of service. Now, I went through this. I was a teacher here for 30 years, so I understand it. And this is really tough on us. We were elected by the community, and the average wage here in this county is $29,800. So those are different things that are coming up. Survey also failed to note that those programs that we cut years ago, we're trying to reinstall them. If you want to see the ROTC again, which I know Lyndhurst is just begging us to do, the music program, if you want to see those things back, you know, we're doing everything possible to try and encourage those programs and get them back. The real problem there is this next year we are going to receive exactly the amount of dollars that we had in 2007. So we've lost all of that. Those programs. And people griped and said, well, you're cutting these teachers. Now we want those back. The people in this county want those back. Okay. Also addressing medical insurance. We do not tell the companies what to charge for medical insurance. One of the things that's happened is we've elected people who go to Washington and they pass laws which affect us without even reading them. And suddenly it comes down, it turns out if you make $45,000 or more, you see, the whole idea was that the wealthier people are going to cover those people that can't cover it. If you make $45,000 or more, you are the rich people. You are going to be paying for those people, just, and me too. I vote. I can see the way it's going. It's hard when I talk to people in the community. I talked to a person yesterday, said they raised her insurance $300 this month. So it's not just us that are having these problems. Okay, lastly, I really feel that if you're going to give a percentage raise, our employees are all important to us. You can't say, oh, we're going to give you 3% because you're just a custodian. Okay, we can't get along without custodians. We can't get along with the service personnel. And people stood up here last week and said, give us more because we deserve more. We're better than those people. Okay. That was not Muta. Excuse me. It's my last chance. Okay, that was not Muta, but that was one of the teachers who spoke. You can go back and listen to the recording. This is all recorded, so you can go back and listen to it. Okay. Okay, I'm just saying, I've been where you guys are. Okay? Like I said, we don't set what the insurance companies are going to do. But they are business people. They're not going to go broke. They're going to get their money from somewhere. Okay, that... Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board.
Good evening. I've been quite sick, and I missed the last board meeting. I'll have to listen to the recording to see where all that came from. So it's kind of ironic that my first slide says, let's be better. I really believe that labor and management can collaborate. And unfortunately, at this very second in time, we're at a spot where tensions are quite high everywhere. But I would have to say that those of us who have felt the pain of those increases are probably a little more tense than those who have not. When you guys came from your closed session, one of the things that Mr. Rex said to the group that was standing outside was, how many of you are teachers? So just to be clear, I would like for all of the teachers to stand up, please. Thank you. So there's an energy draining trend going on right now. This is a little picture from KCRA 3 about they're going to strike in Stockton. This is in Chico, planning on a strike. This kind of thing is happening all over California right now, at a time when Prop 30 passed, LCFF happened. We have this very education-loving governor with his mostly Democrat educating, loving people voting on his budget. It's not what it was. Things have gotten so much better, and yet teachers are having to fight to be made whole again. We would rather be teaching. But here we are. Here's us in our district. And here we are. And we don't want to be here. You, board members, are going to choose the path that we go on starting from here. On Thursday, we'll be sitting in that room over there bargaining again. At our last bargaining session, which I believe was the fourth, we understood that the board didn't really have a lot of trust in us, that they wanted to close out not just this year but next year so that we wouldn't come at you again. And so there was a two-year proposal. And because this is the third year of our three-year contract, we would really like to finish this year. I mean, we're at the end of it, so we know what's happening this year. But we understand you having that concern. You don't want to have this happening. And so there's a way that you can do that. We gave across two proposals. One's a two-year contract. You know, one's for this and next year combined, and one's just for this year. And I got to say, if you took that 1 year, I haven't surveyed them, but I know my members because I survey them a lot. And I've got some quotes here for you that you might like. If they were to be made whole as you can do it this year, next year we can concentrate on those things like class size. This year, we've given a proposal. The two-year proposal includes class size and caseload. I gave you a copy of it. We gave originally on May 23rd. We did a small little adjustment for the high school part at our last meeting, so there is an updated one. The district's never responded to the class size caseload article. And I got to say, the thing that we passed across is very... If education were funded the way it should be funded, it would be very doable. I know that those numbers aren't incredibly doable, but it's a goal. Let's look toward that. But it's a lot of work to go through that caseload, class size stuff right now. So if we could settle this year and have everybody happy and being home with their families and not having to take a second job and not having to come to board meetings and make signs and all of that, if we could have a feeling of goodwill between us and not have to have whatever you heard last time or what you just did to us, if that didn't have to happen, I'm pretty sure that we could just say, okay, let's go on and look at class size. That's the important thing to look at. So anyway, here's one of the paths. If your team comes back to us, good picture, right?
Very good.
If your team comes back to us on Thursday and says, yeah, board didn't give us any further authorization to do anything other than a 4% increase this year, for 1 year, or 4% this and a 4% next, and you close out and have no negotiations after that. If that's what they come back with, that you haven't given them further authorization, that right there is where we're going to be. We will be at impasse. Because we have provided two proposals. Work with one of them. Have them come back to us on one of them. So we don't go there. After impasse, you go to mediation. Well, if the district agrees to go to mediation, I think that we would be agreeable to go to mediation before having this loss of goodwill, airing dirty laundry, having a vote of no confidence, working to contract, being distracted from testing, you know, that important state testing coming up. Then fact-finding. What an incredibly horrific process that is. We've done it in this district before. I think maybe you guys were teachers then, I'm not sure. It's yucky. It's very involved. And then after fact-finding, the fun thing is that if the fact-finding report says, district, you can totally do what these teachers are asking you to do, and that's what you should do, and there's the money, here you go. You got 11% increase this year. You're getting more next year. You had more the year before. You're being a bank, growing by $2 million a year. The board gets to say, we reject that. So that's when it gets really ugly. Because then we would have a vote to vote on whether or not to strike. And we've done that in this district before, too. And we don't want to do that. But you have a choice about what path we're going to go down. So here's a better idea. Stop being a bank. I'm a little bit confused as to why this year you're expecting a $12.6 million ending fund balance, since last year's ending fund balance was $13 million, and it's been increasing by about $2 million every year. It was $9 million, then it was $11 million, then it was $13 million, so I kind of think this is a conservative graph. But this is your graph. This is from Mr. DiGiulio's presentation. This is what you're expecting to grow in your bank. And that's not what people voted for when they voted for Prop 30. That's not what taxpayers are giving us money for. They don't want you putting it in the bank. That little red dotted line, that's what you're required to keep in your bank. And okay, there's an argument for have a little more than that. But when you're required to have $2.5 million and you have $22 million, really? If you were to approve our proposal, and if, I don't really believe it would because it's under 11%, but if it made you at all spend at a deficit this year, you know that next year you're getting more. And we keep getting told that once the money is in that ending fund balance, it turns into one-time money. It's not ongoing money anymore, so you can't do anything about salary. But you could put it on this year's salary because we know what this year is. You could make these people whole, happy, at work, spending more money at Lakeshore on their classrooms, spending more money on books for their classrooms, buying backpacks for those students who need it, because we have the extra money that we can spend on our students at that point. I'll be able to pay my medical bills. So if you dipped into that $13 million that was left over last time for this year, and next year you get that $7.1 million more that's expected, and every time you're told what to expect, lately it's actually more than that, but let's stay conservative, $7 million. We could take the time at that point to work on that class size stuff. And actually, let me, I have to go back. So here we are, I don't know if you can see this cursor, we're at 14:15. We are positive the money is there to give us what we've asked for. We know it. Next year, we could spend time talking about what's doable without hurting the district, without compromising programs, what we can do about, in particular, caseload. Caseload is ruining us for attracting speech people to our district. And maybe we only work on that caseload stuff that we've never really gotten into our contract. But what you can think about that's really cool is that if we're working on that in 15-16, you don't mid-year change class size, right? So it would be implemented in 16-17. When you know you're going to get more money. So while you guys were about to go into closed session, I gave you a table that is what's on the left of this screen. Just a few more numbers for you here. In our area, and that being Yuba, Butte, Placer, Sutter, Nevada County, in those counties, those districts, since 2009-2010, have gotten salary increases. We are the lowest salary increase from that time to now, from all of those schools. And Sutter feels this. Yuba Sutter turned into its very own region for CBT because our health insurance, it's not the insurance, it's the people who are providing the service and charging crazy amounts. If you have a doctor's appointment in this area, it can cost you, just regular doctor's appointment, go see your doc, $250, $300. You go to the same appointment in Roseville or Sacramento, $60. So if our insurance has to pay out such a huge amount more in claims, it's a trust. We have to fill the bucket up to cover all of those claims. And if the claims are huge, not because we're all really sick and going to the doctor all the time, not because every one of us is getting a bone marrow transplant, but because Fremont Rideout and Sutter North have a monopoly. That's why that cost is so high. I know it's not you guys. But those people in Roseville that got almost a 10% increase in salary, their insurance is a lot lower. Yeah, and they can go to Kaiser. So here's the path that we could do. Settle and trust. Then we already have quite a group of people in the region who are ready to address the real problem. And I would really like this school board to join us in addressing the real problem and ending the monopoly that these two health groups have in this area. They have absolutely no reason to bargain a contract that has them charging less than they do and expecting 400% of what Medi-Cal pays in payments from insurance companies. They got a cool helipad that can't be used. We all paid for that. That's the real problem. And if we weren't doing this, we could be addressing that, and it wouldn't just help us. It would help the whole Yuba Sutter community. Because it's not just us that's getting charged a lot of money when we go to the doctor. Our children, our students, our parents, grandparents, the community is being overcharged. And it's the foundational reason why we are getting charged so much, and you. So, you, gentlemen, can't get used to that. It's all guys now. You get to choose what we do. I really hope that Thursday is not going to be a waste of time. I hope that when we come in, we've got something to work with. And before I step away, I would like to share some quotes. I sent out a survey about people coming here tonight, and I asked on it for people to please share any information they think that our bargaining team needs to have. And I was right. I know my members. One of them says, "Current administration at the DEO level has been in the ivory tower too long. They're too far removed from the daily task of education and have forgotten what teachers deal with on a daily basis. Team, hold your ground. Don't worry. There's 60 comments. I'm only going to read about 5. I have no confidence in Gay Todd or the school board. As a certificated teacher in my second year, I net $100 more than what I took home as a long-term sub. How about working to contract? When do we get to do that? I am extremely upset at the idea of only a 4% raise. It's a slap in the face, and I feel that the board and Gay Todd have no respect for teachers. I'm ready to work to contract or do whatever other action is necessary. I simply can't afford to support my family on my current salary. I'm looking at taking on a second job. No teacher should have to live like this. Clearly, the district and board are unconcerned about their teachers." How could teachers not take a vote of no confidence? I have no confidence in the current leadership of MJUSD. The board and superintendent are equally problematic. We don't need that. We don't need our teachers feeling that about us. A little bit ironically, in May, there's a conference coming up, labor management working together, planning to go, or at least we were, maybe not anymore. I guess we're not anymore. I was looking forward to it. I think we can. I think labor and management can work together. But we got to have trust. We got to feel like we're truly being listened to. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Okay, Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees, Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Units. Okay, I have public comments, 2 public comment cards. Going to be timed 3 minutes, okay. First one is Brian Hatch.
I'm back again. I told you last time I was here that my son once told me that I was annoyingly optimistic. And I'm hoping to be able to keep that optimism. Inga did a wonderful job. Really, there's not much more that I would add to that, other than to say, Dr. Todd, Mr. Carrion, you have a lot of influence that you could use at this time that would help. And school board, you've heard all the evidence that we presented, and a lot of it was given from the district, the numbers and figures. So I'd ask you, don't let me lose confidence in your ability to treat us fairly. And if things don't go well on Thursday, then I have no confidence in you.
Okay, next we have Barbara Keano.
Here's hoping I can get everything said in 3 minutes. But I don't have a lot of confidence, and I probably haven't since before Mark Liebman. Many of our employees will never speak up because there is a great fear, a perception out there that if you speak up, somehow your site administration, your teachers, your staff will pay for it. There's a perception out there, like it or not, it is a really, truly perceived perception that there will be a payback. And so many of our teachers, I'm so old, I'm looking forward to retirement. I'm tired. I'm not having as much fun anymore, except for the kids. But our kids are in crisis in this district, as well as statewide, nationwide. Our kids are in true crisis. They need a lot more than we are giving them. Let me give you an example of what's happening across the river. And I am not one of those that the grass is always greener on the other side of the toilet tank, but in this case it is. Our high school counselors, River Valley and Yuba City, with approximate populations of 1,700 students, they have 6 academic counselors. Marysville High School, with a population of approximately 900, has 2. Lyndhurst, with a population of 1,100, has 3. That means that at RV and Yuba City, their secondary children get to see a counselor for 1 out of 283 kids. At Marysville High School, it's 450 kids per counselor. Unacceptable. I am so angry about this. At Lyndhurst, not much better. 366 students per academic counselor. Yuba City Unified has 2 school site psychologists on each campus. Marysville Joint Unified, at each of our campuses, we share a school psychologist with other sites. There are 2 outreach consultants, but I don't know about Lyndhurst, but I know Marysville has to find its own funding for outreach consultants. Now, another thing that's kind of torquing me off, subs. Subs are in a shortage nationwide because teaching has not been a predominantly chosen career path for many years. But we continue, for whatever godforsaken reason, to schedule multitudes of meetings and conferences during the school day. At the high school level, there can be days of the week where our kids have 3 subs because we can't choose to have some of these meetings and conferences after school or in the evenings, or on Saturdays. So our children, my child, can have up to 3 or 4 subs a day, especially if you add in any illnesses. 3 minutes, I'm sorry, is not enough. I'm staying for a moment longer. Let's look at rescheduling how we run our testing. Last week, we had state testing, and meetings were scheduled at the same time. Give me a break. State testing dates always should precede our meetings and conferences. Next, it is sad to me that COLA should ever even be an issue that has to be brought to any table. I don't get it. If my costs increase, then I deserve to be kept at the inflation rate. I don't understand. Now, okay, my health care expenses for 2014 were $18,000. They will go up because of orthodontal care. My daughter is a cancer survivor. My husband has chronic immune diseases, is a stroke survivor, and has a pacemaker for a hole to repair in his heart. My son also has autoimmune diseases. So out of our combined salaries, please subtract $18,000 more out of my salaries. Now, add in college, subtract another $20,000. That's why, like many other educators, we work multiple jobs. Not only because we love our kids and want to coach or whatever, or take care of them at home hospital, but because we have to make our ends meet. And so, again, I just don't understand why some of this even has to be brought to a bargaining table. Thank you.
Okay, moving on, superintendent's report.
I actually only have one item, and that is a request from Mike Jenkins, who is the yearbook advisor, wanting to know if the Board of Trustees would like to purchase an ad for the 2015 Marysville High School yearbook. A half page is $250. What is the board's pleasure? Yes?
I would like that. Okay. That would be nice.
Yes. As they bring the request forward, we...
And the same for Linters. Okay,
yes. So. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. Approval of minutes. Any comments? Changes? It's been moved by Mr. Crawford to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any notes? Okay, no. Okay. Consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled? If no one would like anything pulled, then is there a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Broom seconds. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Personnel services, new business. Page 13 on Roman numerals. Okay. Tentative talk with AMAS. Is that anybody have anything to say about that?
If there are no questions at this time, we recommend that the board approve this tentative agreement with AMAS, which was reached here on the 6th and supersedes the previous tentative agreement that was reached in December. It accounts for a total of 4% increase raise to AMAS representative salary schedules for the current year, retroactive to July 1 of 2014, and sets the pace for a 4% increase effective July 1, 2014. 15 for the coming school year. Again, recommend the board approve this tentative agreement.
Okay, the board will entertain a motion to...
Make a motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Fleury is seconded. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. I looked to me like it was unanimous. Child development, program agreement with the Child Care Planning Council of Yuba and Sutter Counties. Anybody to speak to this?
She's like, no. I'm sorry, I'm out of order. I was thinking it was the second proposal, but actually this... is for a grant request. The Child Care Planning Council has authorized us $2,800 to be able to spend, and it's our intent to purchase the Second Steps social-emotional development curriculum for all of our teachers so that we can have those kits available for the next school year. And in addition, we've also have the Sutter County is going to provide free training for our staff at no cost.
Okay, any questions? No questions? Board will entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Okay, Mr. Rasmussen seconds. Okay, all those in favor, if there's no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. Okay. Facilities and Energy Management Department. Number one, proposal from Barrows Landscaping and Company for landscaping-related services at Ella School. Okay. I will say this about Ella School. It's looking great. Okay. The board will entertain a motion for the proposal for Barrows Landscaping. Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Danimal. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Okay. Item two, proposal for voltage specialists for the installation of paging system improvements at Linda School. Paging?
Preschool.
What? Preschool. Linda Preschool. Okay.
Those portable buildings are separated from the front of campus, so it's just to integrate them into campus and provide what's not already existing.
Okay. These are the bells and whistles. So, okay. Anybody care to make a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second? Mr. Denwell? Mr. Crawford? Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. No nays? Sounds like a prescription. No nays. Sorry. Just hit me that. Hey, item three. Yeah, it's been a long day, right? Proposal from Big J Electrical and Company for MCAA exterior lighting and controls.
This is kind of our energy, obviously, efficiency efforts to replace lights that are not as efficient. Occupancy sensors, obviously, people not there, not on, so we're trying to get moving on the charter school efforts with Prop 39.
Okay, any discussion? Anybody care to make a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Mr. Crawford? Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and item four, proposal from Mid-Pacific Engineering and Company for concrete testing and inspection services for Covalon School fencing. I think they must be building a prison or something. We've been testing so much concrete. Okay. All right.
Just like soils testing, there's some of the preliminary tests we have to do to existing conditions so we know what we're getting into and the engineers know so we can do the fencing project there.
It sounds like a good item anyway. Okay. Board will entertain a motion. I think that's Mr. Crawford's is. And a second? Okay, Mr. Harris. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Okay. I was informed that we need to go back to closed session for two small items. And I'll adjourn the meeting here. Before I do that, is there anybody that would like to end the meeting in a particular honor? Pardon?
No.
Okay.